We must always remember what is most important in this life, and that is our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't allow distractions, circumstances, to get our focus off. One reason that we observe communion, the Lord's Supper, is to do just that, to keep things in the right priorities, and to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the 4th of July weekend, and as we think about freedom, we need to remember who the author of freedom is. And that is, of course, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. You can kill the lights, George. Jesus Christ freed us from the worst enemy of all, that being sin. Only He could do it. He's the only one who is qualified, and it came at great cost. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to the yoke of slavery. Now, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, what we have actually is that the curse of the law is the penalty of sin, and Christ has delivered us from that curse. In other words, He has freed us from the slave market of sin. And that means that we are no longer in bondage to sin. Our old sin nature is no longer our dictator because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. We are free from the penalty of sin. We are free from the power of sin. And someday, we're going to be free from even the presence of sin. I can't wait for that day. So we were in the slave market of sin until we believed the gospel. And when we believed the gospel, we were freed. Aren't you glad that your old sin nature and mine no longer has absolute control over us? We can put Him in the back seat. We don't sin because we have to. The only power that the old sin nature has over us is the power that we give Him. Like, unbelievers, of course, can't say that. So we're thinking about freedom, and this comes to mind. If we don't stand firm spiritually by learning and applying Bible doctrine, we will be enslaved by legalism. And there's a corollary to that. If we don't stand firm physically by learning and applying Bible doctrine and historical principles of freedom, we will be enslaved by our own government. I'm going to repeat that. In fact, I'll repeat both of them. If we don't stand firm spiritually by learning and applying Bible doctrine, we will be enslaved by legalism. It's automatic. If we don't stand firm physically by learning and applying the biblical and historical principles of freedom, we will be enslaved by our own government. We're going to partake of two elements, the bread and the cup. The bread is unleavened bread, which speaks of Christ's perfect humanity. Were Christ to sin even one time, even a mental attitude sin, we would have no salvation. So as we partake of the bread, we think of what it took for Christ to be sinless, nothing less than the virgin birth. As we partake of the cup, we think of the cost to provide for our so great salvation. We think of what Jesus Christ endured on the cross by being physically tortured. The real pain and the real salvation came when Golgotha was darkened and God poured out upon Him the sins of us all. You don't have to be a member of this church in order to partake of the Lord's Supper. But you do have to make sure that all the decks are cleared from any distractions or any unconfessed sins. So we will prepare ourselves by having a moment of silent prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to focus on our Lord and Savior, upon Him physically as man, the one and only sinless man. We pray that You will flood our souls with this doctrine of Christology as we prepare to take the bread. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripe we are healed. The day before our Lord was going to be crucified, He took the bread, He blessed it, He broke it, and said, "This is My body that is given for you. Take and eat thereof." Again, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to concentrate and focus upon the mighty work of our Lord on the cross. Again, we pray that you will flood our souls with the doctrine of Christology and all that it took to purchase our redemption. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It's our custom to retain the cup until all have been served. All we like sheep have gone astray, each one to his own way. And he, God the Father, laid upon him, God the Son, the iniquity of us all. God demonstrates his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. On that same occasion, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." We will all stand and sing hymn number 257. We'll sing it softly on the third verse and crescendo on the last verse. Let us stand.
When I survey the
There's nothing wrong celebrating the founding of our country or commemorating the Declaration of Independence. I'm of the mind that the Declaration of Independence stands taller than any other document apart from the Scriptures. We enjoy singing patriotic songs. And America has the best and the most beautiful patriotic songs in the whole world, bar none. We enjoy watching fireworks. But all this seems somewhat hollow when freedom in this country is hanging by a thread, and that the danger of losing our republic, our cherished country, our homeland, is very real. If you'll kill the lights, George. There you go. That probably gets your attention. Here are a few battle slogans against God. The title here, if you might not get the video, is America at War with God. And I'm going to give you some what you might call battle slogans that would be against Him. The first one is love is love. I don't know if you've heard this before, but the Bible, what I'm giving you is what the media and the LGBT and the liberals and the masses, for the most part, are saying. And I'm going to show you over and over how this has been used. And we need to know what it refers to. Love is love. The Bible is wrong to condemn homosexuals, lesbians, and bisexuals because the idea that there are different types of love is a myth. Love is love. There's no difference between the intimate love between two men or two women and the intimate love between a husband and his wife. Love is love. Of course, the same slogan and idea will be used by pederasts who intimately, in quotation marks, love children. I'm not going to say quotation marks from now on. When you see them, you understand that I'm not saying this is legitimate, but this is what they're saying. Pederasts who intimately love children, that they would say, well, that's love. By incestuous perverts who copulate with members of their own family, and by depraved souls who intimately love their pets, zoophilia. There's new names that come along to try to describe the degeneracy and the decadence that is all around us today. Marriage equality. Have you ever heard anybody talking about marriage equality? Well, this is a battle phrase against God. Traditional marriage is not superior to same-sex marriage. What I'm giving you is what these slogans mean. The Supreme Court has declared same-sex marriage to be a constitutional right. So it is equal with traditional marriage. That is what equal protection under the law means. If you haven't heard this, then you haven't turned on the TV or listened to the radio or read the paper or been on the internet or anything else. This is what is being drummed into us at the present time. This slogan is already being used to equate bigamy and polygamy with traditional marriage, and may be used to justify incestuous marriages as well. Did you see the bulletin this morning? Did you see the news clip? It's about this very thing that's already happened in Montana. There was a man and his supposedly wives went in to get a license for his wives and himself. We hear a lot about equality today, but little about freedom. Do you remember these? Well, that's the equality bell. Oh, no. No, it's called the liberty bell, isn't it? In fact, it has inscribed on it, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land." That's from Leviticus chapter 25, verse 10. How about this? Remember that? That's the equality statue. The statue of equality. Right? No. Statue of Liberty. And on, engraved at the bottom is, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be breathing equality." No, free. It's all about freedom. But that kind of slips between the cracks these days, doesn't it? Here's another one of the battle slogans against God. Love wins. Intimate love between two men or two women wins over the hateful, prejudiced, and homophobic people who say this love is not legitimate. That's one meaning that they have for it. The intimate love a man has for another man wins over intimate love a husband has for his wife. And the courts are proving this to be true. You understand, I'm not saying this. I'm repeating battle slogans because some of you are looking at me like askew. Love and same-sex marriage, which is man-made, wins over love and traditional marriage, which God made. The arguments that same-sex marriage is immoral is false because the Supreme Court of the United States has declared it to be a constitutional right. So if the Supreme Court says that it's a constitutional right, how could it possibly be immoral? How could it possibly be a sin? I don't know you about you, but the silence from most Christians today is deafening. In all of the arguments I hear going back and forth, I don't know, maybe you have heard an argument where somebody came out and said, "Look, same-sex marriage is immoral. It's a sin." Have you heard that bantered around a bit? I haven't. Now, this is my comment. Instead of headlines saying, "Love wins," we should be seeing them say, "The Constitution wins." Or how about, "The rule of law wins." Wouldn't that be great? But unfortunately, those are losers right now. From this perspective. Well, how about the rainbow? The rainbow is a sign or symbol from God, but has now become a symbol for homosexuals. And you're going to know that. You're going to realize it by the time I'm through with this message today. It represents the all-inclusiveness paradigm of the LGBT movement. Just as a rainbow has just about every color, the LGBT Association accepts just about every sexual viewpoint except the Bibles. So you understand what all those colors mean. I'm not good on knowing other colors, any colors that may be basic colors like green, orange, blue, red, yellow. But if you're fuchsia, you're included. If you're... I'm nearly out already. Turquoise, thank you. If you're turquoise... you can be in the flag. It doesn't matter what color you are because it stands for all inclusiveness. Especially when it comes to sex. When it comes to sex, you're included. Every idea about sex is included except one. And that's the Bible's. That's what that flag stands for. It's about acceptance of anything, especially in that area. Now, God made the rainbow to be a symbol of His promise to never destroy the world again by water. Now, remember that. Genesis 9. It doesn't mean that God no longer judges sin. In fact, since the rainbow is associated with the flood, it reminds us of His judgment. Because the rainbow came after God destroyed the earth with water, and it was a reminder that He'll never destroy the world again by flood. And I'm glad He did, because if we didn't have that, especially the weather we've had lately, we go outside and we see a cloud and we start saying, uh-oh, is it going to happen again? So, we don't have to worry about that. But those of you who know your Scriptures know that God is going to destroy the earth again, but this time by fire. So, the point is that the rainbow is associated with God's judgment. For us, as believers who understand and believe the Bible, we recognize it also refers to His grace. That's what the great rainbow is. He's not going to destroy the earth again by water. So homosexuals have taken a symbol associated with God's judgment of sin and turned it into a symbol of man's acceptance of sin. Do you get that? Okay. Where I'm going next is that the rainbow colors in the flag and all this that I'm saying that it represents is showing up all over the place. And it's just getting started. Because it is going to be, well, by the time I show you all of my PowerPoints, by the way, I have over 50 PowerPoints. But by the time I'm through, you're going to hopefully be appalled. Now I got to change to another. I got so many I have to change my deal here. Okay. So we're talking about where all we see the rainbow. Here it is on bridges. I don't know the name of all of these bridges, but this is a more modern bridge here. You see the lights here, different colors? Here they just put them underneath to show the rainbow colors, and here is a big bridge here, and the didn't show as well here, but this is the city behind it, and the buildings have the lights, and down here this is a big lake, and it's reflecting the rainbow colors on the lake. Here's one up here. You see this is fountains. This is all different colored fountains and some of the... Wow. I wish you could see. This really did not come out. Well, maybe I can just show you the difference. Yeah, all right. Now, thank you, George. I forgot to tell you. Turn that off. Now you can see it better. But you see the fountain right here? I just want to show you the difference here. See the fountain right here? I'm going to try to turn this around without getting into trouble here. Can you see it on my computer screen? Y'all see that? That's why I'm here and the wow factor is kind of gone here. Uh-oh. I knew. Danny. I guess that's as good as it gets. So you see the different fountains. This one is a fountain that had light there. What happened? Danny. Dan the man. All right, this is... When I showed this to Carrie, she said, "Oh, that's pretty." I said, "Look closer. You see all the rainbow, even on a Christmas tree." If that's not sacrilege, I don't know what is. On buildings. The Empire State Building. This is, look at all these buildings in Hong Kong. Can you see the water, the rainbow on the water here? I think this one is in San Francisco, and this is a government building in Denver. This is Princeton University LGBT. Actually, this is the building, and this is Reflection Pond here. Now, I don't know if they have headquarters there. I'm just putting what was under the picture right there. But we see it on buildings as well. Now, this is the one that should make you nauseated. I don't need to say anything that self-explanatory, isn't it? But I have another one that, if you think it doesn't get worse, it does. Look at this one. Here you have these homosexuals. He's taking a picture of it with this in the background. That's what's going on in our country, folks. Now, what I'm going to show you here are business advertisements. And these I think there's about 30 or 35 of these. And they did this voluntarily. And I will show you what was written as well. But in every one of these, you're going to see the rainbow colors. This is Visa. It says, love accepted everywhere. This is host with pride. Now, this is a little, this is, by the way, this is Airbnb, BNB. Anybody know what that is? I guess it's Air, you know, Kelly? Oh, bed and breakfast. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I'll get to that. They're advertising here, and they say, Dear Supreme Court of the United States, are you free this weekend? Because there is a big party and you can be our guest of honor. Love Air BNB. This is American Airlines. You see all the colors here. It says, we're on board. Diversity strengthens us all. And today we celebrate marriage equality and the landmark Supreme Court of the United States decision. Here is Procter & Gamble. It says, labels are for products, not people. And then it says, we support and respect everyone's right to be who they are. And then it says, love wins. It says, hashtag love wins, by the way. How many of you folks here have used the internet and used a hashtag and gone with it? I want to see hands. You young people have never hashtagged anything? Let me see your hands. Okay. Now, you're not guilty. This is not bad. They're going, he's going to fuss. No, I'm trying to make a point here. There's not an older person in this place that raised their hand. I have never hashtagged. I don't know how to hashtag. Young folks, am I saying it right? Is that what you call it? Do you do it on social media, or can you just do it on the internet? Okay, I don't have any of that. But anyway, this is my point. We wonder why the young people are much more inclined to accept this degeneracy than their older folks. And one reason is because you go to all these hashtag places that is on nearly every one of these advertisements, and it expands on what the little part that they said here about how wonderful things are. This is YouTube. Here's the colors. Get used to this, by the way. You're going to start seeing that more and more everywhere you go. And you'll see. Here it says, hashtag proud to love. And then it says, the United States took a step in the right direction today. Hashtag proud to love. Delta. Today we join our employees and customers in the celebration of marriage equality. Remember, we were talking about marriage equality. This is JetBlue Airlines. Love is in the air. Hashtag, I'm going to quit the hashtags. I'm tired of saying it. Let freedom wing. Isn't that clever? The Supreme Court of the United States, marriage and marriage equality. This is Orbitz. I thought it was a cracker. But it's not. I've never seen it. What is it?
Travel agency.
Okay. It says SNAP for equality, and then down below it says marriage equality is legal. Show us how you celebrate. And then it has the same thing about marriage equality. They have some kind of contest. This is Official Smart USA. I think it's like Hertz, a car rental. You see all the different colors? It says, life is more vibrant when love wins. Cheers to the road ahead. This has hurt my feelings right here because I go to Whole Foods. Whole Foods. Hashtag love wins. And then it says, yes, love wins. And this very clever. This is, you can see it. See the rainbows color? This is Expedia. Love wins. Proud to celebrate marriage equality and grateful on our behalf of our customers, diverse customers, partners, and employees. Love wins. This is Old Navy and The Gap. Happy pride, everyone. Love wins. The Gap. Equality is always in style. We have been proud supporters since 1969. And then love wins and pride and all that. By the way, don't look for freedom on any of these because it's not. It's covered up by equality. Now, this is The Gap, and this is The Gap in INC, Inc. And it's the same thing. It's a little clever heart with things in it. It says Gap Inc. joins families nationwide to celebrate equality. AT&T. Look at that. Love is love. These are some big time companies if you haven't noticed. This is Uniqlo, or I don't know what that is, but they believe love wins, and I don't even know what that is. Maybe, I don't know what it is, but anyway, you see the rainbow colors. Of course, this. Starbucks coffee. Proud. Love wins. Here's Macy's. Do you see what this is? Mr. and Mr. Rings and two brides. Love is love. From this day forward, love is love. Okay, y'all take a breather. Try not to throw up. But I'm going to give you a dose. I'm going to give you another dose because I want you to remember this. Okay, George. Kellogg's. Kellogg's congratulates LGBT, America's on marriage equality. Americans on marriage equality and love wins. Jell-O? Come on. Look at that. J-E-L-O-V-E. And then down here is J-E-L-L-O is for everyone, so is love. Decision Day and Pride. This is Hootsville. Oh, Hootsuite. I don't even know what it is. Anybody know Hootsuite? Is this another B&B or... Okay, it says turning messages into meaningful relationships for everyone. Love wins. Ben and Jerry's. Boy, I tell you what, if Bluebell was on here, I think I'd have to move. Love wins. Love is love. Marriage equality. They got the whole, all the battle cries in here. Look at this one. This is Maytag. Perfect together. Two guys. Here's to finding the one who completes you. And this is... That makes as much about sense as this does, see? I don't know what... One's the dryer and one's the washer. I don't know. That's Maytag. Love is love. Cheerios. And now no one can tell you otherwise. Love wins. By the time this is over, I'm not going to be able to fly or eat cereal, ice cream, rent a car, wash clothes. Of course, this, Coca-Cola. It's now official. See, this came out the day of the Supreme Court ruling. It's now official. Love is love, and love wins. This is, what is it? Absolute. I didn't know if I... I think it's somebody's favorite vodka, and they just... Finally, love is love, and love wins. Sears. Love is love, and love wins. Now, you see why I gave you these slogans to start with, to show what they're saying it means. Tide. Oh, isn't this clever? These are two socks. Here's the color, and it makes a heart. See the heart? And look at this. Love wins. And soulmates can finally be together. And pride. This is Citi. I guess that's Citibank. All their queer bicycles are in a row. And it says, hashtag NYC, New York City. Join us as we ride with pride this week on 200 festively wrapped city bikes. Frankie and Johnny. Everyone deserves love. Is that a movie? It's what? What did I say? Oh, Frankie and Johnny. I wish it was. Grace and Frankie. Does anybody know what this is? Huh? It's a movie? Is this a guy? Two guys. Get used to this, I'm telling you. I mean, I'm not going to get used to it. But I'm showing you what is being foisted upon us. Levi's. Today we celebrate the Supreme Court's historic step forward in the fight for marriage equality. Let me ask you something. You know, for the last decade or so, the homosexuals have derided marriage and family. They have scorned it. They have mocked it. Why all of a sudden did it get so important that they become part of that? That they, more than anything, have to have marriage equality. Does that make sense to you? Folks, it's not about marriage equality. It's about the destruction of Christianity. That's, and freedom as well. I don't know what's next, but if this is one, I'm just going to turn it off. So you can't see it, but I can. Y'all can see it over here, but y'all don't see it? It's not on over there? I don't need the lights, George. I just want to see ahead of time. Okay, we're not there yet. Here's another one. MasterCard. Now, this wasn't something I could get. I print screened this off of a video. And this is a video of a lesbian down on one knee proposing to another lesbian here. And this is a huge arena out here. And all of them are going to celebrate. They're going to go on the stage and rah, rah, rah for these two women marrying each other. It says, love matters and happiness matters. Acceptance matters. Marriage and equality. I've got to prepare you for the one that... No, not there yet. Pepsi Cola. Cheers, America. Love wins. Oh, I know it's after this one. Okay. Target. Here's to having, holding, and marrying who you love. Take pride. Supreme Court of the United States marriage. Okay, now everything you've seen so far, let me make sure I'm at the right spot. Yeah. Everything that you've seen so far is not as bad as what you're going to see now. If this does not sicken you, there's something wrong with you. But I have to show you this so you understand where we are today in reality. Iconic Iwo Jima, photo recreated with pride flag. The way that this is so abominable to us, think what it is to God. And this is going on. In fact, this was made 10 years ago. And then they resurfaced it when the Supreme Court made their decision, and now this is what's going out. I don't know how you can be more debased than that. What can you do to be more disrespectful and more abhorrent than this? Oop, let's see, am I here? Okay. Leave me off, George, please, for a few more minutes. Understand this. Now, this is a quote by Pastor Chuck Baldwin. Understand this. Once any society universally embraces and promotes the sodomite lifestyle, there is no going back. One cannot find a single civilization in history that has survived once homosexuality has become a driving, dominant force over it. It is both a divine and natural law. He goes on to say, and dare I say that many of our Christian churches, schools, colleges, and universities have become breeding grounds for homosexual behavior. This next one is what I'm going to close on. This is my statement, but I'm going to just have a few off-the-cuff statements to make before we close. So, ladies, those who are going to be prepared, wait till after I read this, and then you go and prepare, okay? If we as a nation do not follow Nineveh's example, y'all remember Nineveh. If we don't follow Nineveh's example by humbling ourselves and repent under the mighty hand of God, and if we don't stand for truth, righteousness, and freedom now, it's very possible that America will not survive. Now, you might be saying, ladies, you can go ahead and leave. You might be saying, boy, this is some 4th of July message, isn't it? I wish I wasn't presenting this to you. I wish the patriotic songs and the phenomenal monuments and symbols we have of freedom still meant something in this country. But what I'm trying to show you is that we are at the precipice of disaster. A lot of people think, oh, well, this is America. This isn't the America that you remember, that I remember. This isn't the America it used to be. And what's so shocking to me is how quickly things are happening. I knew that the Supreme Court would probably rule that same-sex marriage is a guaranteed constitutional right. Even though that's shocking because in Texas, under Texas versus Lawrence in 2005, it was still a crime. It was that decision that made it no longer a crime, and so it's gone from a crime to a constitutional right in that short a time. And you know, by the way, I'm not by a long shot done with this. Next Sunday, I'm going to do what I had prepared for this Sunday, which is something that came before this. And still dealing with reality, will America survive? But the reason that I chose to do this one first is because it has somewhat of a shock value. It did for me as a wake-up call. Do you understand that our First Amendment in the Bill of Rights is already under attack? Do you understand it's going to be a full-blown war against the First Amendment? Starting with the first one that we have. Congress shall make no law establishing a religion nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And then it gives a list of other freedoms as well. Folks, if the First Amendment goes, there is no more America. Because if the First Amendment goes, the rest of them are gone as well. And what do we hear from Christians? How many pastors last Sunday and this Sunday is addressing this issue? I haven't heard one. Now, there may be some out there. Where is the black regiment of the colonial days, the black robed regiment? Where are the Christians that vow to stand for truth, righteousness, and freedom? They're talking about taxing churches. And it's not just blather. They're serious about it. They're talking about removing tax exemptions. I hope you understand this. I just told you the first part of the First Amendment that is relevant. Churches do not have to be tax exempt because they are tax accepted. That means the First Amendment protects them no matter what. And there's going to be lawsuits and litigation, and there's going to be all these fights about whether the church is going to be taxed or not. Whatever the government taxes, it controls. And I can tell you, this church, well, I don't know about this church, but this pastor is not going to bow the knee to evil. And I will not perform a same-sex marriage ever. And I'm going to stand for what is right. I'm not after applause. I'm trying to make a bold statement, and you have to have a fire inside of you like I have if we're going to continue as a nation of what used to be our nation. It's all but gone. And it's not looking good. The media, academics, the whole Congress. In fact, I was going to do this, but I think I have time to do it. What I'm going to do, it'll just take a minute. I wasn't going to do this, but my blood is up. I'm going to tell you what I really think. with the gloves off. You may have thought my gloves were off already. But I've got to bring this up. In fact, I can just show it to you. Oh, I am? Thank you. Here you go. Okay. What I did one day, this is it. I'll try to make it as large as I can. I was thinking about, if someone asked me, why am I pessimistic when it comes to the survival of America? What would I say? And so I just wrote it down. This is not sophisticated. I'm not cursing in it or anything. But I put a little thought in it, and I thought, what? Well, I'll just show it to you. Don't read ahead. Stay with me. Here it is. The present state of the Union, will America survive? The present occupant of the White House is a power-driven dictator. Our House of Representatives and Senate is comprised of pompous, self-serving cowards who worship at the shrine of political expediency. The majority of the Supreme Court justices are delusional egomaniacs who believe their liberal, twisted opinions are superior to the Constitution. Our godless, sex-saturated society hates Christians and is ripe for their persecutions. Thousands of misguided pastors are signing up to help our government disarm the people, while the entertainment centers we call churches are paralyzed with fear because they might lose their tax-exempt status. Now, if you want to know what I think, that's what I think. I feel better. You know, I thought, sometimes things creep into my mind. I thought, you know, on this 4th of July weekend, there'll probably be people who either hate this message or they love it. But I hope you know that what people think about whatever I say when I'm behind this pulpit really doesn't mean a tinker's dam to me. I mean, it does in the sense I'm not trying to offend anyone. But when the Holy Spirit moves in me to put together a message like this and to tell you what I really think, there's no way that I can't do it. There is no fear in me of what anybody's going to do, or if somebody gets angry at me. One reason, not because I'm conceited or arrogant, but I know what I'm saying is true and right. And I'm saying it. And my challenge is, what about you? Are you ready to do the same? Because silence is taken as acceptance and permission, something granted. And I don't know about you, but in our circles here, we talk about this a lot. But it seems like the media and everyone else is saying, oh, y'all just get by it. Just get over it and move on. That seems to be what they're saying. But they're not moving on. They're still doing victory laps. They're still getting cocked and loaded for the assaults that were, by the way, they've already started. Persecution in this country is a reality now. And next Sunday, I'm going to bring that out to you. I'm going to give you examples. This time, you're overloaded with PowerPoints. Next Sunday, you might not have any. But I'm going to cover this with the information that I have, that I've been researching. I've been getting ready for this for months because I saw it coming. And I'm not going to be silent. And I hope you're not either. And I hope that you will prepare yourself even more, because there's so many resources that you can use in order to avail yourself of truth. I'd like everyone to please bow your heads in this last few moments. In light of everything that we've seen and everything that I've said, I started out by saying, the very first thing I said was, it's important in life that we don't get distracted. And the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus Christ. Some don't have that relationship. And that's what I'm offering now, is truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went to the cross for the sins of the entire world. He died on that cross. He was buried and He was resurrected. He lives. And now He is offering to you and every other person on this planet eternal life by simply trusting in Him. Believe in His atoning work on the cross rather than your own good works. And in the moment that you do that, you're born again, you become a royal family member of God, and your ticket to heaven is guaranteed. Now it's time to learn, grow, and apply so that we can glorify our phenomenal God of the universe. Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that You will challenge us with what we've seen today. We will rely upon Your Word and Your power, but that You will give us opportunities to stand as light in a dark world, and that we will not be afraid and we will not give up. We pray this, the name that is above all names, even Jesus Christ, our living Lord and only Savior. Amen.